Lord God, there are times we need to sing, "Change my heart, O God, make it ever true." And we do sing it. But your word tells us that we also need to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And today we seek to learn about loving you with all our minds. So may your word convict us and prepare us to do just that. Amen. Our scriptures this morning are found in Romans, the 12th chapter, the first two verses, and then in Philippians, the second chapter, the first five verses. Hear now the word of God from Romans 12, 1 and 2. "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." And then Philippians 2, 1 through 5. "Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one in mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of the others. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as that of Christ Jesus." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. So we're on the third sermon of this series of loving God and loving others with all our heart, souls, mind, and strength. I like the way the message says this scripture. We are to love God with all our passion, all our prayer, all our intellect, and all our energy. But even if we're supposed to do that, as I said last week, we are to love God with all our heart, and yet some of us choose not to love very passionately at all. Some of us don't choose to love in the first place. We're to love with all our souls, and yet we know that our souls are fragile, yet eternal. And we know that sometimes our souls need to be restored. We know that we're supposed to love God with all our strength, and yet our bodies fail us. Sometimes we lose our strength. We're to love God and others with all our minds, and yet Romans 12 tells us our minds need to be renewed. In the 10th and 11th chapters of the book of Romans, Paul is addressing an issue concerning the children of Israel, and he quotes Isaiah, where Isaiah says, "I was found by those who did not seek me. I revealed myself to those who did not ask for me. All day long I have held out my hands to disobedient and obstinate people." And a few verses later, he says to the church in Rome, "I do not want you to be ignorant." In order for us not to be ignorant, we need to be reminded. Some of us need to be told. We need to renew our minds. In this chapter, Paul is dealing with the problem about who will be saved and who will not be saved. To whom will God grant grace and to whom will He not? And Paul is saying, God's promises are true. Don't be worried about that sort of thing. Let God deal with the details. That's what he's saying. The problem we have is sometimes we get hard-headed, hard-minded, hard-hearted. The children of Israel, when they were in Egypt, God calls Moses and says, "Go to Pharaoh and tell him to let my people go. Here are these 10 plagues that I want you to tell him about, and I will inflict them upon the people of Egypt." Those plagues happen. Pharaoh changes his heart and he says, "Let them go." And then he changes his mind. His heart gets hard and he says no. Sometimes we might get hard-hearted. Go to the book of Judges and we find out in Judges 21:25 where it says, in those days Israel had no king. Each person did whatever seemed right in his own eyes. I think we still do that a lot. There's that reality is we do. I'm not sure, but there is at least one person in here today who has on more than one occasion been told that they were hard-headed. There's some people, at least one person in here, who's been told that they were headstrong. There's at least one person in here who's been called a know-it-all. And the reality is, that's all of us, isn't it? The picture that is painted in Romans 10 through 12 is one in which the community lacked unity. In order to truly be the body of Christ in Rome, they needed to be transformed from the neck up. They need to get rid of their stinking thinking. In Paul's letter to the church at Philippi, he wrote to those believers knowing they had a problem. He tells them what the problem is. And he has that prayer that we have been praying each week, that their love would abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that they could discern what is good and best, so that they may be pure and blameless to the day of Christ, filled with the fruits of righteousness that come through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. We are to be united with each other. Our scripture this morning in from Philippians says, if any of us have been encouraged by Christ, if we've been comforted by Christ, if we've enjoyed common sharing of the Holy Spirit together, my mind has just been transformed again. But it hadn't been renewed. Okay. But if we're supposed to have all those things unite us together. If we've had compassion together, they unite us. Those things unite us in a way that regardless of whatever differentiates us or separates us, those things unite us, and we should treat each other like Christ treats us. He wants us to be like-minded together and like-minded as Christ. So I believe this is what's required for all of us, you see. For us to truly be renewed in our minds, there are things that we need to do and to be about. The first, I believe that if we're going to renew our minds, we need to study. We need to read the Word. We need to meditate on the Word. We need to pray about the Word. We need to read devotionals. I'm not the person I used to be, but I am still not the person that God wants me to be. And so I need to constantly renew my mind. It's important. We need to pray and seek God to transform us in the renewing of our minds. We need to allow ourselves to be around people who think differently than we do. We need to listen to other voices quoting other scholars. We do this so that our thoughts and our beliefs can be tested and challenged. We need to do that. I've said this multiple times, and I think it's important that we remember this. We need to make sure that we know that we're not always right. We need to remind ourselves that we've had the wrong first impression. because that's important. Because if we will admit we've been wrong before, it will help us admit that we might be wrong now. I was thinking about it. If I didn't know that, and I didn't do that, I was thinking about something very elementary. I was thinking about spelling tests. When I was in school, it was spelling tests, first through about the sixth grade or so, and then it changed from a spelling test to a vocabulary test, where you not only had to spell the word, you had to know the meaning of it. Now, when I was in the first grade, I spelled cat, K-A-T. Phonetically, that's pretty close. Now, if I had not changed my mind and admitted that I was wrong, and I continued to spell cat with a K to today, you would think I was pretty silly, wouldn't you? Somewhere along the way, we have to admit we've made mistakes and we're willing to change our mind because we know better now. There are things that I spoke of when I was 17 and 18 that I knew were the truth. My parents were just too dumb to know it. And then I got an education right after I got out of college, and I had to pay my own bills. And my parents got a lot smarter. You learn something, and all of a sudden your perspective changed. We need to realize that sometimes we might be wrong. And so we have to be open to hearing other voices. We might be looking at the same mountain, explaining it from two different perspectives. One of us might be on this side of the mountain, and somebody else would be on the other side of the mountain, and it doesn't mean that we're both wrong. It just means we're looking at it from two different perspectives. We need to be willing to change our minds, to be renewed. How many in here has never sinned? How many of you in here have never fallen short of the glory of God? Well, you've admitted that you don't know it all about God. Because sin separates us from God, and the farther we get from God, the less we know about God and what God wants for us. And so sometimes in life we think we know all the answers about the ways God works and the ways that He will work in a life and the ways He worked in our life, and that's the only ways He can work. And in doing that, we limit God to the place where we end up being wrong. And we need our minds renewed so that it will transform us into the people that God is calling us to be. Lastly, we need to seek out Christians, mature Christians, to hold us accountable, to give them permission to ask us the hard questions. We do. To tell us when we're thinking falsely or wrongly, or to make us stop long enough to consider something else. You see, I know how to take care of myself. Now, my wife says I don't. When I moved to Atlanta, I became a part of a four preacher accountability group. Now, they were started before I got here, so I'm not as dedicated to them as they want me to be dedicated to them, but they're more dedicated to me than I am to them. And so the last month, we meet the third Thursday of every month, and I was supposed to go drive up to Buford to go visit, be with them for lunch, and hold each other accountable. And earlier that morning, I texted them and said, I'm sorry, but I'm not going to be able to be there. A lot of stuff's going on. And this preacher, who is young enough to be my child, texted me back and chastised me. It's hard to hear a 30-something-year-old or 40-something, early 40-year-old person chastise me. He was talking about, you need to get away. You need to be in this group. You need to be here. And you're just running. You can't be an island. He was getting me. And basically he was also telling me that not only do I need them, they need me. You see, we've been given each other the right to hold each other accountable. And if I'm not there, there's one less person holding them accountable. You see, we need those kinds of people in our life who can tell us the truth in love, and in the process of that, our minds will be renewed and we will be transformed. Because I truly believe that we will never be able to love God with all our minds until we are willing to allow God to renew our minds. And so this morning, that's the question for us. Are you willing to have your mind renewed? And if you are, what are you going to do about it? Because I truly believe for all that we are and all that God wants us to be, we will never be what He wants us to be, and we'll never be able to love one another or Him the way we want to until we allow ourselves to love with all our heart and love passionately. Because I truly believe most of us don't truly want to love each other passionately. And we don't really want to love God that way either. And I truly believe that there are those in us who our souls are so fragile and so broken that before we can love one another and love God, we need to allow Him to restore our souls. We need our minds renewed so that we might love Him intellectually. So what is it going to be for you? What are we going to do to allow God to renew our minds? Let us pray. Lord God, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for Your Spirit. We thank You for Your Son Jesus. Lord, we know that we need to be transformed. And the way it needs to be done is through the renewing of our minds. Burden us, O God. Challenge us to allow ourselves to be vulnerable to having our minds changed, radically changed, so that we might love You with all our mind. We ask this in the name of Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.